Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Wednesdays at 3. We used to be undefeated. Now we're 0-2 when Larry Anderson joins us on Wednesdays the night before. Bad streak, L.A. We got to do something about that.
I'm sorry, Larry Anderson can't get to the phone right now.
So,
what are you guys doing to me?
Well, what are you doing to us, you know? So let me ask you this, L.A. Man. You were not on the broadcast last night. Stock was on the broadcast. But I'm wondering if you could do a little bit of acting and make pretend you were on the broadcast. It's 2-0. It's the top of the ninth. Sosa's on first.
Please tell me you were not. You don't have a – you got your some kind of microphone in my house. I know you do. Now I know you do because I know where you're going.
I just want to know what you would have said when Rojas swung 2-0.
How did you know? I'm serious. I am dead serious.
It's all I can think about, man. It's all I can think about is what would LA's reaction have been?
I was got to be, my reaction was, and I believe I said to my wife, I said to Christian, I'm like, excuse me, I got something choking me. And it's not her. I said, are they not teaching baseball anymore? Like before guys get to the big leagues? Or even when they get here, my question is, was anything even said to him? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But that I don't. Maybe it's analytics. I don't know. But it says, hey, go ahead and swing 2-0. But from a baseball standpoint and watching a game, being in the game for 50-plus years, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the Lone Ranger, 2-0, you're in the ninth inning, you're down a run, you got a man on. Make him throw you a strike. But that didn't happen.
No.
And my thought was like, don't they teach this? Don't, or did we not have coaches in the minor leagues anymore or at any level that played the game? That drives me nuts. What can't we teach this stuff? I used to talk to Dallas Green all the time about we need to go back to baseball 101 and have classes in spring training for the young players, for the new draftees, and have classes and teach them how to play the game. Now, analytics changes that a lot, I'm sure. But teaching how to play the game like we were taught, that's just a no-brainer. Don't swing the bat there. But, you know, if it's Schwarber, if it's Harper, somebody like that, you get a cookie, okay, different. Johan Rojas, 2-0, a ball at your neck high, what are you doing? Why aren't you swinging the bat? That was my thought.
Well, especially
I wasn't on the air.
Right. Well, especially with Trey Turner up next. And there was some debate on the station today as why wasn't he told not to swing? It feels like an elementary thing almost that if you have to tell him not to swing there, to your point, there just seems to be a miscalculation somewhere else that he thought that was the best thing to do. And, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, if you send Stott up there to pinch hit, I can guarantee you 100 times out of 100, Bryson Stott does not swing at that pitch. Like, no. There's no way he swings down, you know, down up 2-0 in that scenario.
Nope, there's no way. And it just, that's my whole thing. It's like, I don't know the last time anybody ever put a take on for a hitter. I don't know, maybe 40 years ago.
Right, yeah.
But that's 3-0, 2-0. I mean, sometimes I think we just take for granted that all these players, these younger players, know how to play the game. Bobby, for me, they don't. They don't know. They don't, you know, I mean, I can go over all kinds of stuff. Like, young, I don't know. But somebody, wouldn't they think that's taught at the minor league level? By the time guys get to the big leagues, and I know guys go through the minor leagues a lot quicker nowadays, but by the time they get here, shouldn't they have been taught? Shouldn't they have been told things like that? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm way off base. Maybe I'm way out of bounds. But, that frustrated me more than anything. More than anything. I just, they got good pitching. They got good arms in the bullpen. Who knows? It might not make one bit of difference. But, that we will never know. At least it's almost like, you know, give yourself a chance. If you're thinking right, you give yourself a chance. If you're not thinking right, you got no chance. And that there to me was not thinking right, and there was no chance.
And if he gets on with Sosa at second, all of a sudden, if Trey Turner hits one into a gap, you're up 2-1. You know, right. if you have two guys who can run like that on the base paths, you're a lot closer. You're certainly a lot closer to tying the game, and you become a lot closer to winning the game as well.
Providing they don't get picked off.
Yeah, for sure. So the good thing from last night, Ranger Suarez, has been, this is shocking to say, with Zach Wheeler on the staff and Chris Sanchez and Jesus Luzardo, since he's come back, Ranger Suarez has been the best pitcher on the Phillies. Like, what have you seen from him? What did you see specifically last night that is allowing him to succeed at the level he's succeeding at?
His command of pitching inside to the right-handers, although that was the one thing that cost him the game, you know, the one pitch. You know, throwing a cutter, and I was a little surprised at throwing a cutter, like on 3-2, because, and I've said this a million times, if a left-hander to a right-handed hitter, if you're throwing a breaking ball in, you want to start it at the corner and break it in off the plate. For me, I don't want to start it in the middle of the plate and bring it to the corner, because that's taking it right through nitro zone, and especially in Houston with that Crawford's box there, that the short porch and left. I mean, you're just asking for a pop fly to go in there, and you know, he went the other way, hit it well the other way, but it was a pitch that he wanted in. He didn't get it in there. But that's so many of his pitches. He's getting in there. He's throwing into the right handers. He's moving them off the plate. He's using his off speed stuff away. Just the way he's mixing and matching his pitches. It's just Ranger-like from what we saw at the start of last year, the first half of last year. But we've seen him do this at numerous times, you know, even before last year. When he's on, he's got it all going, and he just knows how to pitch. Nothing fazes him. He's a great fielder. He fields his position. He just cool, calm, and collected out there. I mean, it's fun to watch him pitch. He's not an overpowering guy. But he pitches like he's an overpowering pitcher.
He almost at times reminds me of Greg Maddux. It's crazy to say, but the way that Maddux didn't have overpowering stuff, but just put the ball in the exact right spot that the batter cannot make the decision about whether it's a ball or a strike. And, you know, either they make the decision too late or they take it. And, you know, and I wonder how many called third strikes Rangers gotten this year, because it seems like there's a lot of them.
Oh, a whole lot.
And yeah.
He lives on the edge, which he has to. I mean, but he knows how to. He's got that the command. This command is tremendous. It's not, I mean, a lot of guys at this level don't even have control, meaning that they can't throw, you know, 8 out of 10 strikes in the pitches in the strike zone. But when I talk about command, I'm talking about not that, that command is the next step up from control. Command is where you can throw the ball where you want in the strike zone. And Ranger can do that. Excuse me. And when you can do that, you're going to have success. And it's, I mean, he just proves that. You don't have to throw 98. You don't have to throw 100. You don't, you know, you can pitch with where he's at 93, 94, 92. If you know how to pitch, you can pitch it at just about any velocity. I truly believe that. He's throwing it.
Well, he's making himself a lot of money. I can tell you that.
That's
right now.
Sure.
This keeps up. You know, it's not a bad year to have what looks like your best year.
Yeah.
So Orion Kerkering, since Alvarado has gone down, Kerkering has been good. He's gotten shots to close, and he seems to have thrived there. I'm sure if we've asked you this before, I don't remember your opinion on it. The idea of a guy knowing that he is the closer. Rob Thompson has not really done a ton of that. Do you think Kerkering would thrive, like your thought about knowing that is your inning, that you are the shutdown guy? Do you think Kerkering is sort of earning that, and do you think he would thrive if he knew that?
I think he's no question thriving now. He's throwing the ball great. To be put in that position day in and day out, I think it remains to be seen. But I don't think there's any question he can. I mean, he's showing that he can, that he can pitch deep in the back end of games, back into the pen. Whether it's the one thing, and I've said this before too, it's the difference between where he's pitching, where he's been pitching prior to this, you know, as a setup guy or something. The setup guy and the guys before him, the middle guys and the setup guys, they have the big tightrope across the foul poles from right to left. The setup guys and the middle guys have a safety net, and that's the closer. The closer, he doesn't have that safety net. And that, if you can handle that mentally, I mean, if you think about it just yourself going across a tightrope at, you know, 20 feet high, whatever. But, I mean, go across a skyscraper, we'll end the thing, and it's the difference. I mean, from the mental aspect, you have to be able to trust yourself and know that you can get it done without somebody having to come in and help you out. And people might think, well, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's just another inning. It's not just another inning. It's an old pitching coach of mine once said, the first inning and the last inning are like the takeoff and landing of an aircraft carrier. I mean, the two most critical parts of it is the start and the end. And that's, you know, to me, the landing on the aircraft carrier is the ninth inning. That's something that you have to be ready for mentally. There's stuff that there's not even a question about his stuff being able to do that. Then it comes down as a command. As a command there, consistently, can he consistently make his pitches? And he's, I don't know. To me, of late, he's showing he can. Yeah. But again, if you're going to be in that position every day, can you do it every day? Can you pitch 2 out of 3 days? Can you pitch 3 out of 4 days? I don't think we do that, but. You know, are you able to take the ball regularly, I guess, is what I'm saying, and I think you can.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Yeah, when you look at this team overall, L.A., just about at the halfway mark, I think, 79 games? So they're almost at the halfway mark. Trade deadline is still over a month away. We almost do this thing weekly. Sometimes we make the mistake of doing it daily, of sort of reassessing this team after games. But with an overall view of them. So I would look at this going towards the trade deadline. You feel good about where the team is at as we get towards that big decision-making day or weekend for Dave Dombrowski as far as what he should be doing at the trade deadline to either improve this team or stand pat? Like, how do you feel about where the team is at? The pitching is great. You like the lineup? You think there's areas that we still need to get better at?
I think more consistency from the offense. Where to me, I mean, obviously the bullpen losing Alvarado, getting him back, I think would be huge. To have another arm like that's a special arm too. But I think besides that, on top of that, the offense. It just when we face good pitching, we don't do a whole lot. Now a lot of other teams don't either, but for me, I think because of the way the rest of the league is, I think we're fine. I think we're in a good spot. Now, can we get better at the trade deadline? I certainly think so. I would hope so. But there's a lot of teams in the same position.
Position. Yeah.
They want this. They want another reliever. They want another arm. Or they want another bat. And everybody's vying for that. It's like, well, who's willing to give up some prospects? Who's willing to make the deal to try and make it happen? And again, there's no guarantee, you know, that somebody coming in is going to make that difference. You certainly hope they do, but you know, we've seen in the past it doesn't always work out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I think because of this, there's nobody running away with anything.
There's
really not, and because of that, I think we're in a pretty good spot right now. That's my feeling. I still think we can always get a little better, maybe a lot better.
Yeah, there's a bunch of teams right in that 44, 45, 46 mm-hmm. win range right. That the Phils are in right now. And the Alvarado thing's funny because I keep forgetting that we do have him for
He's
the last
back.
Month and a half of the season, you know, which at the very least will save you a little bit. It doesn't help you in the postseason, but maybe workload-wise it can save some of the guys a little bit.
I think, to me, from experience, a perfect example was 93 when it felt like Mitch Williams and David West and myself were pitching every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like the first half. And then we got Roger Mason. And, man, he made a huge difference, I think. By the end, he was maybe our best reliever because there was three guys that didn't have a whole lot of gas left. And I was certainly one of them. So you do that, you can. I think that's a great point that you can. You have somebody to take some of the heat off of the guys in the back end, and somebody an arm that you know you're not forced to use the same guys over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good point.
All right, LA. Well, boy, if they don't win next Tuesday with you coming on Wednesday, we're going to have a serious talk about your placement during the week. You know. So let's get back on track next week, okay?
I would appreciate that, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
All right, LA.
There he is, the great Larry Anderson. Dude, when I asked him about the Rojas, he knew what I was going to ask him.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want me to ask him because he couldn't. You can hear L.A. So there's like a limit. You know how sometimes they'll put on a car, you can put a limiter so the car can't go above a certain mile an hour. Mm-hmm. There's a limiter on L.A.'s brain.
They do about, that on golf cars.
Yeah, about how like negative he knows he can be. And you can hear his brain bouncing up against the limiter when you ask him about why did he take there?
Yeah.
You know, I can only imagine what LA was doing.
He just hates bad baseball.
Yeah, he does. Well, it was dumb.
Bad baseball.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Matt in Mount Laurel. You're on WIP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Spike, Mike, and Jack. Thanks very much for taking my call. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon, Matt.
Thank you, guys. I wanted to just spend 1 minute, and I'll be quick here. As I told Jack when he screamed, I'm a Rutgers basketball fan for 50 years.
Wow.
Okay.
And before you pity me, and feel sorry for me, my freshman year at Rutgers was the year that they went to the Final Four. They were among the best teams in the East Coast for 4 years while I was there. So I've been a loyal fan of Rutgers basketball. So this year, it was a year of a lot of hype and a lot of hope with two freshman five stars coming in. And I'm not going to try to convince anybody there in the studio or your listening audience as to whether East Bailey is the man and the player that the Sixers should take, because I'm not sure how he fits in exactly with the Sixers. But what I want to do in this 1 minute here is just to try to dispel some of the sentiments and feelings and rumors about East Bailey and what I saw in him. I saw every game he played this year but one, the notorious loss to that powerhouse at Kennesaw State that wasn't televised, and it was an away game. What I saw in East Bailey is he's a young man. He's 18. As we know, there are 18-year-olds who are going on 25, and there are 18-year-olds going on 15. He fits in the latter category, quite honestly, guys. But that young attitude a little bit, also that boyish attitude he has, is also a great attribute he has. He's enthusiastic. He actually would sit there on the bench during timeouts and listen to the coaches. He would listen to his players. He watched. There were moments during the season when he was asked to play every position but point guard. And the only reason why he didn't play point guard is obviously with Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper was the natural point guard, but when Dylan Harper was out, either due to the flu or injuries, he couldn't play point guard because there was nobody else to pass to. He was asked to play center in the Big Ten, and he played the position beautifully. He is amazing talent. He's got tremendous upsides, and I just see him as being a young man who does need some coaching. And unfortunately, as you know, in these 50 years I've been following college basketball, it's changed so much, man.
Yeah.
Coaches can't develop players anymore. They rent them. And I wish East Bailey, for many reasons, could play another year in college and he would develop a little bit better. But he's got so much upside. And lastly, I just want to say this. I think you, the fans know there and the listeners know that Dylan Harper was asked to throw in the first pitch for the Yankees. So that image of East Bailey in a Mets uniform, it was not done to say that he wants to play for New York. It was a Rutgers move to try to tap some of the Wall Street NIL money along with Dylan Harper. That's what that move is for.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And yeah. By the way, nobody in San Antonio will care that Dylan Harper threw first pitch for the
Yankees.
Yeah. You know, so... Yeah. I largely agree with I understand what you're saying. I think that the thing that is tough in the NBA now is that there are a lot of players, especially if they're in Ace Bailey's situation, where he is skilled, but he's going to need a lot, where the first contract in the NBA ends up being like your second and third year in college, mm-hmm. where like they spend their and when you're running an NBA team, you have to think about, I have 11, if you're trying to win, I have $11 million a year on my cap dedicated to a guy that I don't think is going to be good for his entire first contract, or certainly not contributing to a winning team. So that... Like, there's this whole thing with draft picks where there's like three things you think about. One is, what is their ceiling? Two is, how likely are they to reach their ceiling? And three is, how likely are they to reach their ceiling on the team that they get drafted by? Because there are a lot of situations, who knows if Kawhi goes somewhere else and doesn't end up in the San Antonio system where he is, or if if Tyrese Halliburton never gets traded to the Pacers and ends up having to split a backcourt with De'Aaron Fox's entire career.
Right.
Like, there's so many different factors that go into it that you could look at a guy like Ace Bailey, and if he goes to a great situation, he could be an all-star in 6 years. If he goes to the wrong situation, he could end up in the NBA for 10 years, never playing on a winning team, never realizing his potential, never becoming a great player. So I think you bring up good points. I don't think any of the stuff that has come up about him has meant he is a bad guy. I don't think we've heard anything about him being a bad guy or a bad teammate. I do think there is some question about whether he has any desire to be a role player in the beginning of his career. And I think that is an important question for whoever is drafting him to answer.
Spike, I think it's spot on in many respects, but I'm not so sure that you're right that he doesn't want to be a role player. I think he just wants to play the game, and he's willing to listen to and do whatever the coaches need to do. Because that's what I saw with him this past year.
Sure.
Like I really did. And again, as I said to you, I'm not sure he is a good fit, and I'm not so sure that he's going to be a star in the NBA. I have no idea, but what I know is I just know that he would be an attribute on the court and in the locker room based upon his social media exposure, as well as his time there on the court and on the bench.
All right, Matt, appreciate you checking in, man. And God bless you for 50 years of Rutgers basketball.
I'll tell
our friends Jerry Recco and Chris Carlin that you're there because they are friends of ours. So, all right, Matt, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, too, Spike.
There he is.
Yeah, dozens of them.
What's that?
There's dozens of them.
Dozens of huge Rutgers fans.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but from an, like, you know, from a, I mean, I don't want to get deep into Rutgers basketball, but if you're one of their major donors or something, you spend all that money for Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, and they under 500. Like, what a disastrous season for you know what I mean?
I agree.
What are we spending? They're only here for a year.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, there is another draft coming up.
That's right.
And that draft is Friday.
Are you going to do YouTube Big Board for that?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah.
YouTube Big Board Friday of NHL draft prospects.
And your hockey expertise is JV, right?
JV, sophomore year, I think it was, of high school. I was terrible.
Okay.
I couldn't stop. I didn't know how to stop on ice skates.
Seems like a problem.
It was. A lot of cross-checking, as I mentioned. Mr. Stone, our coach, grabbed me by my face mask and pushed it into the boards because he was so mad that I would not stop cross-checking.
Child abuse.
Back
when men were men. Yes. So speaking of that draft, Flyer, it is Wednesday, and 3:30 is coming up, and Flyers and 50 with Broads is next, and we will get Broads' big board for Friday. That's what I've been told, that Broads will have his big board for Friday's draft.
He brought a hockey stick in.
He always brings it. Now the bit is just
having props.
It's growing. Yes.
Good.
I like props. So Broads joins us next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.